Well, hello, this is Jeff Gattiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And as part of my special coverage on the brilliant Danny Garcia documentary, Rolling Stone, The Life and Death of Brian Jones, I have a truly special guest. Brian had six children, and one of his daughters, Barbara, appears in Danny's film, and I'm so pleased to welcome her today. So welcome Brian Jones' daughter, Barbara Marion. Barbara, welcome.
Hi, Jeff. Hi. It's great to be here.
Thanks for taking the time. And let's start with Danny's film. How did you get involved? Did he reach out to you?
Actually, Danny did not, but his co-producer or co-writer, Nick Reynolds, was the one who actually reached out to me in late June or early July of 2019.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we kind of get into the film, what was your relationship, you know, with Brian and his legacy? I mean, am I correct in that you didn't learn until much later that he was your father?
I did not learn until 2002. Mm-hmm. My mother had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. She had been given 8 weeks to 8 months to live. And that's when I discovered this bit of information. It did not surprise me, in fact, that the person raising me was not my father. That didn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. What did surprise and shock me was who. And when my mother told me, I had no clue who this person was. Mm-hmm. I had to Google him. But, But
there's
then,
a surprise when you press Google.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Made complete sense. It solved a lot of mysteries for me. A lot of questions were answered. And I immediately started to reach out to Brian's family
and
siblings. So, yeah.
Well, and again, have you been able to contact all of your siblings, and, you know, is there a relationship, you know, with Brian's legacy?
Yes, I have been able to contact most of them and have relationships with them, either by email, social media, or actually in person. The one that I have not spoken to would be his son, Mark, but I have spoken to his mother, and she's a delightful person, Pat Andrews. She's a really, really nice person. So I have been able to do that. His immediate family, when I first learned of this, his parents were still alive, and I reached out to them repeatedly with no luck, as did all of my other siblings with no luck. I also reached out to his sister, Barbara, my namesake, and her children as well, with no result. But my siblings were very receptive. So that was a really good thing.
And as you started learning this and finding out who Brian was, first of all, you know, what's your reaction when you realize that your father is the man that started the Rolling Stones, but also sort of the controversy surrounding his death? Was that something you were looking into prior to this film?
It was. My views have vacillated on this subject. At first I thought, well, you know, he just did really die in his pool. But then I started to research and started to talk to people and said to myself, he could not possibly have just died in his pool. And the more I learned, the more my opinion very, very strongly became formed. And that opinion is that he was indeed murdered. And the police did not do the job they were supposed to do. In fact, I think they intentionally just came to the conclusion of misadventure for their own purposes. And my dad was very much, it's a tragedy what happened. And and most of the players are now dead as well. So I don't believe that a police investigation is going to be reopened, because I believe that that would be admitting fault. So I don't think that's going to happen. But I think Danny's film is brilliant. The way that he presented everything, I just think that this is the best film I have seen on Brian ever. And it's really truly impressive what he's done.
Yeah, and Danny sort of lays out in the film what's really now the prevailing theory of Brian's death, that Frank Thorogood, who's doing some construction on his property, was ultimately responsible for Brian's death. And you know, when I
right,
spoke
being
to
the
Danny,
person who actually committed the act, probably.
Right. And when I spoke with Danny too, this was also the first time that some of those government records were unearthed from the investigation then. Now, why do you think that the British government never really took this seriously and is still kind of covering up some of those records?
I believe that Tom Keelock, one of the players and one of the people who were there that night, had some connections. I believe a brother or some sort of relative was involved as a senior police officer. I think that came into play, as well as I think that the police just really did have it in for the Rolling Stones. I think that, Brian's busts were set up. And I think this is very neatly the way that the police could say, look, kids, this is what happens when you're a rock star and you drink and you do drugs. You die in your pool. I think he, look, kids, this is a fine example of what happens. And I think that they just very neatly wrapped it up like that. And it was just easier, and it served their purpose.
It's make an example out of him.
Exactly.
And, you know, and Brian has sort of a complicated legacy when it comes to the Stones. You know, on the one hand, he's, an ahead of his time visionary that started the group and kind of gave it life. And on the other, he kind of is painted as sort of the overly sensitive drug abuser that couldn't change when the band and the music changed. As his daughter and someone who didn't, really wasn't aware of his legacy until he started looking in, what do you see as Brian's legacy?
I think he was a visionary. I think that he contributed to rock and roll history in a very unique way. I think the way that he could just pick up any instrument and seamlessly work it into a song in a way that it just made the song. It colored the song so that it just would not be the same without my father's input. If you took Paint It Black with the sitar, Lady Jane with the dulcimer, the marimbas on Under My Thumb, they are not the same songs without my father's input at all.
Without a doubt, yep.
Yeah, I think really, and the way that he was at the forefront with the fashion, dressing as the first boy rock star that really dressed in women's clothes. I think that was incredibly ballsy.
Well, and it sort of set the stage for what came later with T-Rex and David Bowie and, those people that kind of grew out of that.
Right, exactly. So I think he did a lot, Brian.
Have you ever had any contact with anyone, in the Stones inner circle?
No, not at all. I think one of my siblings had contact with Bill Wyman. I think that was after he had retired or they kicked him out, whichever, however that went with the Stones. But I don't believe that they care. Really. I think Brian is probably best forgotten for them, for whatever reason. I'm going to say that's how it is.
What do you hope people that see this film take away from it?
I'm hoping that they will take this death by misadventure off of my father and realize that, you know, he will never really truly know exactly what happened that night, but, you know, he was murdered, in my very strong opinion, and hopefully other people will see that as well. And this is not just some sad, defeated, deflated, drug-addled rock star who just up and died in this pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was on the upswing. He was planning for a new rock and roll band. He was doing a lot of things for his future. You know, he didn't just up and die in his pool. He was murdered.
And, you know, again, the film is called Rolling Stone, The Life and Death of Brian Jones. And, Barbara, I can't thank you enough for taking some time here. Danny did a brilliant job with this, laying out the story of Brian.
Oh, yeah,
you're involved in the movie. And, you know, again, I encourage everyone, if you're a fan of the Stones or just a fan of the 60s scene in general, take the time to watch this. You'll learn something, that's for sure. So, Barbara, again, thank you so much, and best of luck going forward.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.